God has decreed and desires consecrated living from his eternally loved and delivered people. If that's you, you've got a heart of celebration.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Well, grace and peace to you all from God our Father, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you guys have a good Christmas? Didn't sound like it was very good. Did y'all have a good Christmas? Advent season, all of that. Was it a good time of majesty? Marvel. Mystery. Magic. Not like Houdini, you know. But, you know, just a magical time. C.S. Lewis loved that word, magical times. And Christmas should be that, a wonderful time, magical time, mysterious time, time of just enjoying family, community, loving on each other, good food, all of that. We did. I hope you guys did. I hope it was great. I hope there was no misery. I mean, I'm ringing the bell. Yeah, I love ringing the bell. We do see each other. I love ringing the bell. You see humanity at its best, at its worst. It's just crazy. And, you know, people would just come by you and I'll ring the bell and say, Merry Christmas. And I had one guy just look right at me and go, Scrooge! And I'm like, well, just don't shoot me, bud. I mean, jeepers, you know? And then there are those blessed times where little guys sing and they have a good time. So, how was it miserable for you? Wasn't miserable, was it? No, okay, that's good. I didn't hear a big no. It's yeah, I love that. I wasn't, you know. What about mayhem? Was there any mayhem? You know what that word means? Like chaos, craziness. Was there mayhem? Yes, always at Christmas, sure. I mean, you know, presents just aren't right or this breaks. I remember one year Linda's dad was decorating the tree and he had like 600 lights on there. And we're all sitting there watching him finish this up, and he's like, yes! And the lights went out. All of them, a little mayhem. That's just crazy. So there's, you know, mayhem. What about some monkey business? Any monkey business? Always. I love it when couples come out of the jewelry, and I'm ringing the bell, and they'll be like, Merry Christmas, I'm Merry Christmas. I'm like, naughty, nice? No, we're both naughty. And I'm like, all right, well, then get some mistletoe. We love that. So a little monkey business. There was one, I was in the Jewel the other day, again. Jerry and I live in the Jewel. I think we do all the shopping for our families. And I saw this little boy, like 5 years old, with his mother. And I said, hey, dude, you remember me from ringing the bell? And his mom gave a big smile because he rang the bell with me, you know. And I said, did you have a good Christmas? He goes, yeah. And I said, so what did you get? He said, I got a gun, and I shot my brother. And his mother goes, not really. He really didn't shoot his brother. It was a little toy gun, you know. He didn't really just so. There's always some mayhem monkey business, but it should be a time of just marvel, a time of contemplation. Did you contemplate, ponder like Mary did, the mystery of all of it? Hopefully you did before the tree. Lynn and I love to sit before our tree and look at the lights and just ponder the mysteries, contemplate the mysteries of the incarnation. As C.S. Lewis reminds me every year, God in the flesh, in the womb, through the gestation process, contemplate that. That is a mind blower. And then his work, we celebrated that this morning. And then there should be celebration. And then there should be, for this new year, you know, resolutions. I don't like those words, because we never keep them, right? We make resolutions, and they always seem to like go for a week or two or three or a month, and then they're gone. It's like, that's it. So can y'all say the word y'all? Can you say y'all? Now, when I point my finger to you, somebody said I was going to wake up. Pastor Dad, they said I wake up. Not that you're not awake. We, and Lynn and I love this fellowship. We've enjoyed the last couple weeks. We got to be here worshiping with you guys, and that was fun for different reasons. And I love your pastor. We love him. He's a great friend, one of the best ever in my life. And you guys are blessed. That's it? Okay, good. Can you say y'all? You say, y'all, we're blessed. I don't know if that's Southern Baptist or it's a black community church. I don't know what you, but y'all. So I've got a little, I told Renee Babineau this morning, I said, she does a great job. You guys are blessed with a good techie. Yeah. You're blessed with good worship people. You're blessed. Look at what God's doing in this ministry, growing this incredible. It's great, right? So yeah, God. So say y'all. So let's go from contemplation, celebration to a life of, yeah, of y'all's, yeah, of consecrated living. So every time I point to you, taking a risk here, I wrote a little rap. Because Pastor Dan, over one of our lunch meetings, he said, you know, we do have a constituency in our church, a group or whatever, that loves rap music. You want to identify yourselves?
I didn't actually say that.
I thought it was something like that. And then he said, there are those who love heavy metal, and those who love country, classical. There is a plethora of musical styles in this ministry. But I wrote a little rap to go with our title, Consecrated Living. So will y'all join in? And when I point to you, say y'all. When I point to you. Not you guys, just them. Here we go. Consecrated living is the way to get it done. It'll come a little more rhythm, all right? Like, is y'all. It's like, consecrated living is the way to get it done. Y'all? Consecrated living is the way to get it done. Lord, give them some rhythm. Right, here we go. Consecrated living is the way to holy fun. Better. Consecrated living is the way to get it right. Let's try it again. Consecrated living is the way to get it right, y'all. Y'all. I almost thought of having the drummer come up. I thought, well, that's maybe pushing it, right? Consecrated living's for the Lord. Don't get uptight. Like, look at somebody and, okay, this time look at somebody and say, y'all, ready? Here we go. Consecrated living's for the Lord. Don't get uptight. Yeah, because we do get uptight. We think of that. I mean, I thought about the sermon title going, consecrated living, it sounds boring. It sounds like not a whole lot of fun. It sounds like, man, why do I want to do that? Well, we're going to talk about it this morning for a little bit. Some of you may like a more orthodox take on this consecrated living life, for example. Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Yeah. Or this one of my favorite old hymns. I do love old hymns. I really love old hymns. Living for Jesus, if you know it, say it with me. A life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Yielding completely, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing. For me, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. So which one do you like better, the rap or the orthodox, or they both express are the same truths, just in different styles for different periods, although they may be appropriate for all periods of time. Because truth is truth. It doesn't change. True truth. So as Pastor Dan likes to do, and he and I laugh about this all the time, he puts his big idea up on the screen. You know, proposition to you, or the main idea, the main point, I've got one for you this morning. So the big idea on this consecrated living, you know what, let's do this. I love the learning process, even through preaching. So can you read that? If you can't read it, that's okay. Let's read it together. Here we go. Ready? God has decreed and desires consecrated living from his eternally loved. All right, it sounds kind of like classroom rote stuff, all right? Let's kind of put our hearts into it. Let's do it again. God has decreed and desires consecrated living from his eternally loved and delivered people. So if you're eternally loved, you should say amen. If you are eternally delivered, you should say amen. From sin, from the devil, from death eternal, and into the kingdom of hope and grace for all times. It is a blessing. We sang that this morning. So one more time, let's do it together. If you don't remember anything, maybe you'll remember this. God has decreed and desires consecrated living from his eternally loved and delivered people. If that's you, you've got a heart of celebration, a heart of contemplation, and then you all a heart of consecrated living to a holy God, a loving God, a merciful God. But where do we find that powerful truth in the Bible? Where do we find it? Let's talk about the where. Where's it at in the Bible? So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. I've got to read a couple of texts for you. So we're going to look in the Bible, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 1. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is God and Moses and the people of Israel. And he's going to talk to them about consecrated living. So Exodus chapter 13 and verse 1, and it starts with, "The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn." Why? Well, he's going to say later on in the text, because I killed all those firstborn from Egypt, but I want you to consecrate your firstborn so you remember that you are eternally loved and eternally delivered. You are mine. I want you to do this. God gives us celebrations, rites, memorials, so we don't forget him, which we often do, right? All of us? We do. He doesn't want us to. So he goes on and says this, "Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and a beast is mine." Mine. Now you're going, well, I wasn't there. So how does that relate to me now? Well, we're going to get there. "Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today is the month of Abib. You are going out. You're coming out by a strong hand, omnipotent hand, a hand that Pharaoh cannot thwart. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month, 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day." See, God loves that fathers and mothers, especially the daddies, sit with their sons and their daughters and tell them the story of Jesus. It's not Pastor Dan's job. It's not your Sunday school teacher's job. I get all that. It's the parents' job, the grandparents' job. Remind, remind, remind what God has done. "You shall tell your son, it is because what the Lord did for me on that day when I came out of Egypt, and it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and on a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a second time strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb, all the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's." Here's another little thought quickly. God loves repetition. Why? Because he's driving a point into our brains and our hearts because we so easily forget. And I believe that repetition is the mother of all learning. That book I wrote, The Logic of the Gospel, which some of you guys bought, somebody said to me, they were kind of looking at it, reading it, saying, "You repeat yourself often into that book." I said, "Good, then I've done what I wanted to do." God does the same thing. So if God's repeating, I must not be that bad of an author. Repetition, mother of all learning. Every firstborn of a donkey You shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come, your son asks you, here it is again. Well, what does all this stuff mean? You shall say to him, by a third time, strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. We were in bondage. We were doomed. We were destined for destruction. God said, no, 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 you're my eternally loved people. I'm going to bring you up because of my love for you. And Israel, remember, you were nothings. You were a nobody among the nations. But I put my hand upon you, rescued you out of my love, out of my mercy, out of my grace. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of man and animals. Therefore, I sacrificed to the Lord all the males, the first that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a fourth time, the Lord, strong hand, the Lord brought you out of bondage, out of slavery. He delivered you and loved you, and it's eternal, and you're his people. So a lot of people would say, is he talking about ethnic Israel, or is he talking about Israel the church, or is he talking about both? Sometimes it goes back and forth. Well, do this with me. Look at this. Look at Numbers chapter 3 quickly. God makes a little bit of a change. Well, you say, well, God doesn't change. Well, in his providence and his mystery, he does what he wants to do. There's no change. It's a part of his providential plan. So Numbers chapter 3, look at verses 11 through 13. Once again, it talks about this issue of the firstborn, y'all. So Numbers 3, 11 through 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. You got to get the message. I'm God. What I'm going to get, I'm going to get. And I want the firstborn. The firstborn is mine. So is this a picture of what is to come for the church today, corporate? Matthew Henry, the great commentator, says this. The church is called, I love Matthew Henry, one of the old dead guys. The church is called the church of the firstborn, or the priesthood of the saints, as Luther liked to say, which is redeemed not as those who were redeemed of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. Firstborn. It's a big deal with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it has a lot to do with those of us who have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. So do this. Look over at Hebrews now in the New Testament. Let's see what the author of Hebrews has to say about this issue of the firstborn. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 18 through 24. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. Says this. The writer writes, the author writes, this to those who are in Christ, for you have not come to what may be touched, to blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the heavens beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you, those in Christ, the redeemed, by the precious blood of his son, you're going, where's that in Scripture? I'm making common paraphrase. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, or the heavenly Jerusalem, or the mystery of all of this, should make us start going, y'all, amen, y'all, amen, y'all. You're going, that's too much, Chuck. Well, I was told I might wake you up. Look at this, to the heavenly Jerusalem. I love this. And to the innumerable angels in festal gathering. Picture the warriors, the hosts of heaven, or the Gabriels and the Michaels or the archangel. All the warriors with their swords, they are in festal party, celebrative gathering. Y'all get a picture of that. Ponder that. Goes on and says this. And to the assembly of the, come on, to the assembly of the firstborn, look what it says, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, that's me, that's you, if you've repented and by faith trusted in Christ's works, says this, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. So who's the firstborn? My sister said, she's the firstborn. I'm the middle child. I'm the problem child. I'm the schizophrenic child. I'm the child that caused my parents misery. But in Christ, I'm gathering in the mystery of it all right now with the festal angels. I'm there already, in a sense, in the mystery of providence and the timelessness of God, celebrating with the righteous saints because of the righteousness of Christ. That deserves a big y'all, amen. This is the way you begin the year. Not like, oh, man, another year. Oh, it's an election year. Oh, there's going to be taxes due. Oh, there's going to be misery. No, let's think right. I'm a festal person, man. I love to party in the right way. So there it is. Where is it in Scripture? There it is. And I probably took too long with this, all of this. But what is consecrated living? What does even the word consecrated mean? It's a big word. I mentioned to somebody, I said, I'm talking on consecration. They said, constipation? I said, no, I'm not going to get up on Sunday morning and deal with constipation. Although there are those Christians who are spiritually constipated and they need deliverance. And that's a whole other sermon. So what is consecrated? Well, from the 1828 Webster's edition, Noah, which I love, Noah Webster, it's this. Consecrated is to be made sacred by ceremony or solemn rites. By the grace of God, have you been made sacred? Yeah. And separated from a common to a sacred use. Are you to be used for common things or sacred things? Sacred things. Now, you may be involved in common things, but in the common things, you should be thinking sacred things all the time. Is that too much? I don't think so. Says this, devoted or dedicated, Noah says, Webster, to the service and the worship of God. So consecrated, consecration is worship and service to God, even in all of the common or all of the secular things. It's not a life of segregation, of integration. Everything is integrated into consecrated living. Everything. Everything. Which is good. He goes on to say this, separate from secular or profane use and dedicated permanently, while all cultures and religions have a form of purification rites, even the pagan, back in the Old Testament, what do? They burn their children, they cut their children, they cut their bodies, tattooed their bodies all over the place. They had all kinds of pagan rites that they used and they thought was purifying them before their pagan gods, which was useless. To be consecrated, Noah Webster, 1828, says this, is most associated with Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, and Christianity, biblical Christianity. So consecration or consecrated suggests investment of something, our lives, with a quality and a quantity of time and of your heart. So consecrated living suggests that you're going to invest You're not going to make a resolution for the next year. It's consecrated living for life. You're going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and it's hard work with quality, quantity of your beloved time, your precious time, and of your heart in complete yielding, as I gave you the hymns, to God. So, how do we practically develop this consecrated living in our lives daily? How do we do this? Well, we got to make investments. I mean, we make investments. I mean, there are probably people in this room who invest in the stock market. They invest in all. I mean, I had a buddy of mine. He was a pastor. He used to really bother me. I mean, not that he was a pastor. I loved him. He was a good friend. I want to make things clear here. And it's not your pastor. But it would bother me because he was actually a pastor who was a multimillionaire. He had a lot of money from an inheritance he received. And he would actually, even during a sermon, he had this money market thing on the pulpit that he could see what was happening while he preached. The investments were changing, and here he's preaching the Word of God, but he's got his mind in the secular world, and he's concerned about what's AT&T doing, what's Chick-fil-A doing, what is this a Comcast doing, what is this or that doing? And I used to go, man, what is wrong with you? Well, I've got to work at this. No, man, not then. Do you do that when you go to the bathroom? He goes, well, sure I do. I'm looking at my investments all the time. God says, I want you to invest your time and your heart with quality and quantity in consecrated living. Make these investments. So here we go. I've got a list of them. I didn't have Renee put them up there. We're going to memorize these. I've decided we're gonna wrap it all. Pastor Dan's got three or four of them. I got three or four. And Frank Franz is going to wrap it up with a big wrap because I know how much he loves rap. I was talking to his kids, and they said, don't ask our dad. I said, no, he looks like a rap guy to me. He's deceiving you. Frank, I love that big smile, man. I just do. So here we go. Investment number one, consecrate yourself. Now, I cannot look at all the biblical texts, so we're not going home today. Although we could consecrate the rest of the day to this time. And yet someone say, you're not going to do that to me. You're not going to guilt me out by doing that. I'm like, why not? Let me guilt you out. I don't want to preach that way. So we're not going to do that. So let me get through these. But maybe, you know, you got your phones, you got something, scribble it somewhere, write it on your neighbor's cheek. I don't know. Do something, all right? Remember some of these. Or maybe Renee's so good enough she can type them in, put them up. I don't know. She's incredible. Renee's like, do not put me on the spot. I will not like you, Chuck Peckler. So here we go. Investment number one. This is where you consecrate yourself to secret worship. Secret. Or the old dead guys love the term secret worship. You know what I love? I love the art of private worship. I wrote a book on it. It's still available, and I'm not promoting my books, but I can't help, you know, talk about that because I wrote about it. So number one, consecrate yourself to secret worship. John Bunyan loved that term. Spurgeon loved that term. Jonathan Edwards loved that term. Susanna Wesley loved that term. Amy Carmichael loved that term. Consecrate yourself, right? Set aside quality and quantity time in your heart and whatever to secret worship. Now, what does that really mean? When I was a kid in Chicago growing up, we were down there the other day, and Charlie was up, our little grandson, 5, in Asheville, North Carolina. We're down in Logan Square. You've been there lately? It's like a mess. I mean, there's a good side, bad side, but my side where I lived, it's worse than it was when I lived there. But there's a coffee shop there, but down the block from that shop is the apartment building number 10 or 11 that I lived in growing up. I had a lot of secret places in Chicago. I was a little hoodlum, a little gangster, a little bad boy. I was Oliver, you know, from Charles Dickens. I was an alley urchin, a garbage can maniac. I had secret hideouts where my parents could never find me. Why? I didn't want them to. But it's just a fact. Jesus had places where he hid out. Did he? What was he doing? Playing hide and go seek with the boys or what? Right? Right? What was he doing? He was praying. He was in secret worship. He got away from everybody. Everybody. We can't do that. I mean, I don't have time to comment on all this stuff. I just can't do it. And we can't look at all the text. We won't get done. I mean, I was thinking about this, like Dan and I, we could put a book together on this. Not like I'm boasting, but you know, these points. Secret worship means nobody knows. Well, I can't do that. I mean, this group has to know. My wife has to know. My husband has to know. My kids have to know. Everybody has to know where I am. Well, then it's not secret anymore. It's secret because you're doing secret things before a holy God that loves you eternally and has delivered you, and it's your secret place with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's your party time with God. And we just don't do that. Y'all is right. I mean, I used to love it. I had a place, I can remember hiding in this gangway. They called them gangways in Chicago. I had the staircase area. I could get, nobody could find me. Nobody. They'd send out scouts to get me. I mean, I would hide out. I could hear them calling me, Chucky, come home now. And I would just be like, you can't find me. Never really thinking, when they do find me with my dad, I was in trouble. But it was my secret place. I had my stash there, not drugs. I know you're going, oh, that's a drug term, stash. I had my little soldiers there, my little things I wanted to play with there. It wasn't a time with God. It was a secular time. But man, now we need, I'm begging you to think through this. Consecrated living is, you consecrate yourself to secret worship. I still believe this, and I'm going to say it again. I think it's the most beneficial part of the Christian life. Most. It's where you know God the most and the best. It's your time with Him alone. If you don't go after it for the rest of your life, you don't get the blessing. Remember one of the lines in that song? You get a blessing. You get a blessing from consecrated living. So what's the second? Investment. You need to consecrate yourself to Sabbath worship. Now, every pastor loves a guest speaker to come in and really pump the Sabbath. Come to church on Sunday. Our son Matt goes, you don't go to church. The church goes to gather to worship. Our son's a worship leader at Asheville. We gather. I mean, we're the church, you know? I mean, we're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We gather. So consecrate, set apart quality time, quantity of time, time of your heart to gather, make it a point to gather to Sabbath worship. Now, here, listen to this. Charles Spurgeon says, Sabbath or social congregated worship is the outgrowth of one of the natural instincts of the new life. We want to be, as a born-again person, new life from Christ with other believers, to party and celebrate and give homage and repent. Social congregated worship is the outgrowth of one of the natural instincts of the new life. In heaven, it is enjoyed to the full, and earth is most, listen to this quote, it's so good. Earth is most like heaven when Sabbath worship abounds. I mean, you know what? It should be like, I'm not going to church. I'm going to heaven. Well, where's heaven? It's in Wonder Lake. You're nuts. No, I'm not. Because I gather with the other saints, the firstborn, consecrated to God, to do what? To sing, to listen, to take communion, enjoy the sacraments, to see each other's faces and go, Christ is in you, Christ is in me. Let's love on each other for a moment. Now, the problem is this. A lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I do the Sabbath worship thing. I go to church on Sunday. No, the church gathers for worship on Sunday. Get it right. Forget I go to church. I got to gather with the festal creatures and God and angelic warriors, and to worship through the Word, through singing, through the sacraments. And then do this. Now, I don't know how many of you are Sabbatarians in here. You know what that means, a Sabbatarian? A Sabbatarian Orthodox means that this day is holy to God, consecrated, set apart. Remember the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. We've lost that. Remember the Bears. They're playing the Packers. Remember all this other stuff. Remember what I got to do today. I got to do this. When I was a kid, man, it's like, I'm not sure my parents were right about this. I love them. But they were a little legalistic about this whole Sabbath thing. It should have been the Sabbath day, you know, should it be a day where we get refreshed in God, reminded about God's eternal love and deliverance for us through the works of Christ. And we remind others, and we rekindle that flame and recommit ourselves. And it's a day of eating and joy. We were down speaking to some Mennonites, man, I don't know, a few years ago somewhere in New Mexico or even Mexico, and it was like the Sabbath day. You went from house to house, and you talked about Jesus, and you ate the whole day. And everybody weighs 500 pounds down there. And that's, they don't. But you get that? It's like, we're in. We're out, we're done, I've done my Sabbath. That's not consecrated living. That's me, my, now. I've done it, I've done my church thing again. And I've worn the right clothes, and I've said the right words. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a Sabbatarian, Linda's a Sabbatarian, and you know, we all need to be Orthodox Sabbatarians. Like, you know, on Sundays, we're just miserable people. When I was a kid, you couldn't play catch with a baseball because if you did, you were going to hell. I used to tell my brother, let's go to hell. Let's see if mom and dad are really true about that, you know? Maybe it's just if you play with a football or maybe you shoot basketball. So we would sneak out and play catch. We never went to hell, but we were talked to. You get it? When I was a kid, we went to church in the morning, Sunday school. In the afternoon, you know, we did our family eating thing. And then we went back to church and there was youth group. The whole day centered around. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it should be. But let's face it, we've gone way the other way. The Sabbath is nothing now. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? Well, I've had people say to me, that was for the Israelites and that's the law. And we are now under the covenant of grace. And that has nothing to do with us. The Sabbath can be any day of the week. It can be whatever I want to do. I make my own Sabbath. I set my own day of Sabbath, Shabbat, Shalom. And we're full of baloney. I mean, you're going to argue with God and you're going to tell him. You're going to eisegete a text and you're going to tell him this is what it says. When that's not what it says, you're going to mess with him. Yeah, but we do it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, oh man, you guys better change all your lifestyle. Well, but maybe some of it. Maybe all of us need to do that. It would be good for our souls. It's a part of the first. Consecrate yourselves, number three. Consecrate yourself to servant worship. You notice I end with worship all the time? Because the firstborn worship and everything we do is an act of worship. Consecrate, set aside quality and quantity time in your heart to servant worship. Doulos hupretis diakonos. Ah, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. We think, no, everybody serve me. Now, let's be really honest. You know, this is not a resolution to consecration. It's like, this is what the Bible teaches, and I think it's a good thing to begin a year with. Just consecrate, say, okay, we're going to make some changes, not for the year, so next year we do it again. I mean, we just do it for life. And there's a blessing, and there's joy, and there's peace when we obey the word of God. Serve. Jesus did that. Love. Doulos. Hupretis. Underroar. Get down below the ship. But no one will see me if I'm not up front. No one. I had a guy one time who said, I want to work at the youth ministry when I was a youth pastor. I want to be a youth leader. I'm like, all right. I said, show up this night, and we'll talk about it at the youth meeting. So he shows up. And I said, hey, man, you do me a favor. I got two bathrooms that really need to be cleaned. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, bathrooms. The brushes are in there. The stuff's in there. Spray it, clean it, wipe it. It's a mess. Go clean the bathrooms for me. I got some other stuff to do. And he stared at me like, well, you're an idiot. The Son of Man came to wash feet, give his life, spill his blood, get spit on, slapped on, turned on by his own friends, betrayed. And we're always about us. Our conversation, when we talk to people, it's about us. It's about us. We talk about us. Really, to have that heart of servant worship, I mean, that to consecrate yourself, I mean, that's work. It's having the mind of Christ, Philippians. I'm not saying I got it. I'm working at it. And we could all use that excuse all the time. Well, I'm in process. Well, you know, I'm going through it, and I'm the saint of it. And I get all of that. But to say I'm going to consecrate myself and really work at this, focus at this. James and John are like, they wanted to serve, right? They wanted to serve so much they sent their mother and said, hey, could we get like, you know, could we get some big throne stuff next to, I mean, they send their mother. Jesus walks into the upper room, and they won't even wash his feet. They're too busy serving one another and their own needs. Consecrate yourselves to servant worship. I don't know how you work that out. Every church needs servers. You know, workers, you know, and serve in so many different ways. I mean, just to have a heart of love for people, talk to people, love them, greet them, you know. It's so cool. Jim and Mary Lou, what a great service. Standing out of the door with a smile every Sunday we've been here, greeting you, loving you, hugging you. I mean, that's good stuff. We've been to a lot. I remember speaking at a big church, and if I told you the name of the pastor, the radio guy, you go, oh my gosh, you spoke at that church? I did many times. And the first time I spoke there, I did this on purpose. I walked around the narthex area. Nobody knew who I was. I was greeted by nobody, even the 25 guys that had greeter gold things on their lapels. And so when we had lunch the next day, I told this radio guy. He said, what? I'll fire all of them. I said, don't fire him, you little. You can't fire them all. Teach them. Get them all. Talk them through the issue of just, you know, here's a guy that looks like a weirdo over there. He's going to be your speaker today. You don't even know him. Maybe they were afraid of me. I don't know. But nobody in this big church and, you know, all the ride, decorum, and everything, and, you know, radio, and all of that. And then I get up to speak. I'm sure some of them went, oh, man. We never said hey to that guy, and he's speaking. That's right. And I told the big man. Consecrate yourself, invest and consecrate yourself to studious worship. How many Awana leaders here? Awana leaders. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Let's sing it together. Firmly Awana stands, led by the Lord's command. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Boys and girls for his service claim. Hail Awana on the march for youth. Hey, you can rap that, Frank. Yo, hail Awana on the march for youth. Yo, yo, hail Awana. Oh, you can do it, buddy. And the younger kids will go, we got a hip leader, man. Studious worship, 2 Timothy 2, I can't read it, one time, I'm already probably over my limit here. 14 and 15, right? You know that verse. In the ESV, it's do your best. New American Standard, it's study to show thyself approved. Don't eisegete, don't make it say what you want to say. Study it. In the Greek there, it's like you do it all the time. You don't go, been there, done that, know that. That's one of the bad deals of the Christian. Been there, done that, know that, heard that, been there, done there, know. You know what? We are a mess. Preach the gospel to me every day. Let me hear about the blood of Christ every day and the life of Christ every day and heaven every day. And let me study to get it right and be before my God as one who tried at least to get it right enough. Well, I know that verse. I've heard that verse. For God so loved the world. I love it when I get, you know, especially speaking at camps. Quote John 3:16 to me. And it's like, for God so loved the world. It's like, what the heck is that? Be students of the word. Consecrate it. Consecrate yourself to sharing worship. Well, what is that? Share the gospel as an act of worship. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself aside. Quality, quantity, time, and heart to do this. I'm going to talk to people. Come ring the bell with me next year. It's incredible. Jerry knows. He sees it. The world is there. Non-believers are there, and believers are there. Or do something else. Get into the community. This church has been blessed by God. It is growing. Lives are being changed. The community is growing. It is the time to consecrate yourselves to sharing in worship. Sharing the gospel is an act of worship. Get out there and love people. Don't get out there and go, hey, can I talk to you? I've never seen you before. I just want to tell you, you're going to hell. You miserable non-believer. I see the way you live. You smoke. You drink. You love this liberal thought in our government. Oh, that's going to do it. It's going to get your nose broken. Instead of just going, can I just love you? Tell me your story. What's going on in your life? Build a relationship. Jesus built relationships. He modeled it for us. Love people, man. There is nothing more exciting than sharing the story of Jesus. And not be legalistic. I'm going to say this. Idiots. Just horrible. Consecrate yourself. Last one. Because it wraps it up. Consecrate yourself to selfless. A lifestyle of selfless worship. I get so ripping convicted, John 3:30. John the Baptist said, oh, by the way, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, you know, you got guys who debate on that text. Well, John was talking about he was going to go now. He was done. He's going to die and Jesus is going to be there. Maybe that's all physically true, all about that stuff. But I think in the heart of John, John was saying, it's not about me. I'm unworthy to even mess with his sandals. The dung from the animals between his toes. John was a man of selflessness. He had the mind of Christ. Selfless. Not let it be about me. All about me. My troubles, my problems. Me. My. So that's how we do it. That takes work. Takes begging the Holy Spirit for help. Why do we do it? Well, it's the right thing to do. Goes back to the big idea. God has decreed it. He desires it from his eternally loved. That's us. First, right? Firstborn people. It reminds us of his love for us. We consecrate ourselves, and especially the studious part, the secret worship. If you've never been overwhelmed in secret worship where you break out in tears and you sob and you can't stop because the blood of Christ and his life has overwhelmed you, something's wrong. Why do we do this? It reestablishes our love for him. I'm a firstborn. I want to love on him. Matthew Henry says, God, who is the first and the best, should have the first and the best of everything in our lives. By their union with him, all that are born again and born from above are accounted as firstborn. There is an excellency of dignity belonging to me and power. And if children firstborn, then I'm an heir of Father, Son, and Spirit of all the blessings. That's a great way to begin the year. John MacArthur says, for this amazing blessing in Christ, being the firstborn, we should show gratitude by which we may offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe. The right response as firstborn from above is a worshiping, consecrated life, offering holy service to our worthy and awesome God. Y'all? Ringing the bell, Jerry. I'm ringing the bell, and this guy walks out, and he looks at me, he stops, and he goes, can I tell you my story? And I get that all the time. And I love it. If you don't love it, you're messed up. I don't got time to hear your story. You want to hear my story? Tell me your story. Guy was probably in his 60s. He goes, I retired from work. 2 months later, I got a brain aneurysm. You retire, and you think, you know, you're going to, right? And he gets a brain aneurysm. I said, all right, keep talking. He said, well, they told my wife I wasn't going to make it. He said, I made it. I said, wow, what a gift from God. He said, then I had a heart attack 2 months after that from the aneurysm. And he said, they told my wife I wasn't going to make it. He said, I made it. I said, I'm thinking that God has given you an incredible second opportunity to know him, to think about Christ and the gift of life, and to maybe set it aside to him, your life. What do you think? He just started weeping. I'm not boasting. I just said, tell me your story. I said, can I pray with you? And he just said, please pray for me. You know, people are walking by. I don't give a stinking rip. A moment. And I prayed with him. I saw him again. He said, can I tell you another story? I said, oh my gosh. Keep talking. He said, you know why I love the Salvation Army? I said, because of me. He said, no, because, he said, my grandfather went to the West Coast when he was a young man. On the way back, he got sick, and he almost died. He was riding the rails. They threw him off the train. He was going out during the Depression and threw him off. Guess who picked him up? Salvation Army. And he said they rescued the man that would become my mother's father. And I'm alive today. I said, oh my goodness. Do you think God is really telling you something here, man? Let's pray again. He said, pray for me. Tears. Consecrate your life. Let's enjoy this life. Let's enjoy this life, y'all. Father, help us to do that. Thanks for the time to be together, to worship, to sing, to think. Just so grateful. I hope I have not dishonored you. Hope I have not embarrassed you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In any way, I pray that all of us would take this to heart, that we would consecrate ourselves to this life because you've eternally loved us and delivered us from the power of death, the sin, the devil, your judgment, to be in intimacy, a perfect, righteous relationship with you. May we enjoy. And we say that, Christ, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.